We invite those who are able to stand as we read the gospel lesson this morning, as we find it in the Gospel of St. John, the second chapter, the first 11 verses. You'll remember this as Jesus performing the miracle at the wedding at Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you've kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, this all this stuff takes place at a wedding. Weddings and receptions, and there are lots and lots of interesting and wonderful tales and stories that almost any preacher who's been around a while could tell. And I just, by coincidence, yesterday received through my email to go to Facebook and look, and a friend of mine from back in Hughesville posted a picture of a sign out in front of a store, one of those, you know, big signs out front, and it said, "Any husband choosing tiles must have a written note from his wife." I thought, so I got to use that this morning. That's, you know, weddings and so on. And I came across this one, too, this week, and that just kind of apropos. In a newspaper ad, again, this one was on the Internet, a bike for sale, Suzuki 1000. "This bike is perfect. It has only 1,000 miles, and it's already had its 500-mile dealer service. It's been adult-ridden, and all wheels have always been kept on the ground." I guess that's important. I use it as a commuter. "I'm selling it because it was purchased without proper consent of my loving wife." And this is the one part I like. "Apparently, do whatever you want doesn't mean what I thought." Asks for Steve. Well, I'm not going to ask how many husbands have ever been there with that kind of line. Julie Ruth Harley tells about a couple in Manhattan who got married, kind of had an introduction in an unusual way. They were in a car accident. They say love is blind, and according to the report in the New York Times, Joanna Greenwald really did have her eyes closed when she first met Christopher Masters. The reason she had her eyes closed was that a pickup truck had just crashed into the back of her BMW, sent her car across the median and hit a pickup truck. Sideswiped this guy's Dodge, Chris's Dodge. When she opened her eyes, Joanna's car was totaled and she expected to see a great white light. Instead, she managed to crawl out of the wreckage and saw the man of her dreams. While the two talked at the accident scene, Joanna barely thought about the damage to her car, the shards of glass in her hair and her clothing, or the fact that she'd almost died. When her mother arrived in a state of panic, Joanna said, "I'm fine, Mom, I'm fine. Now get away from me." Her eyes were fixed entirely on this handsome man, Chris. Well, they exchanged business cards, ostensibly for the purpose of insurance reasons, and the next day Chris called and asked Joanna out. one thing led to another, and eventually they got married. And at the wedding reception, the couple didn't place flowers or chocolates at each place setting. Instead, they placed copies of the accident report. Now, if I were to ask you here this morning, how did you meet your mate, I would get some interesting stories. I would also get some interesting stories if I were to ask you about your wedding ceremony or your preparations for the wedding or the reception afterward. Well, Jesus' first miracle was performed at a wedding. And you know the story. It's familiar to you. There was a wedding, nice wedding, taking place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus' disciples were there. Jesus was there. But as the event wore on, something rather drastic happened. And a pall was about to come over the place. They were about to run out of wine. This was a most embarrassing situation for the family hosting such an event. Mary, Jesus' mother, seeing what was about to happen, went to Jesus and said they don't have any more wine. Depending on what translation you read, Jesus said something along these lines, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? What do I have to do with the wine?" And then he replied, "My time has not yet come. My time has not yet come." Kind of probably a strange statement that Mary heard at that moment. "My time has not yet come." We'll address that in a little while. Well, nearby, over near the entrance where everybody was coming and going, there were six big jars. I mean, they were big jars, 20 or 30 gallons. Now, home on the farm, our milk cans were 10 gallons, and they weigh about 80 pounds when they're filled with milk. And we would hoist those buggers around, and that was good for the back when you're 12, 14, 16, maybe not so much when you're a little older, paying the price for that in my older age with little arthritis in the back. But these are 20 or 30 gallons, two or three times the size of a milk can, filled with all this water, and there's six of them. You know, Mary didn't take Jesus at his word. She just simply told the as if Jesus was going to do, because, well, I'm the mom and he's the son, and he might be 30 years old, but he'll do what I ask. And apparently he did. Jesus simply said then to the servants, "Well, go fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. And then he said, "Now draw some of it out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did. The master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the scriptures tell us only the servants knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, I can just picture him putting his arm around his shoulder, and he said, this is really something. Everybody else, they'll get a few bottles of the good stuff and they'll hand it around, and pretty soon everybody's pretty well sloshed. Then they bring out the old cheap stuff that they got at Kmart or Walmart or wherever you buy cheap wine. I don't know the answer to that. Which brings me to another point. I grew up in an era in a church that, backstep just a little bit, but this miracle of turning water into wine, into alcohol, was a tremendous problem for me, and maybe for some of the rest of you, because of what happened in the late 1800s and early 1900s and the Women's Christian Temperance Unions and the United Methodist Church and its forerunners, the Evangelicals, the United Brethren, the Methodists. We were all very, very strong into that. And so in all my growing up years, all I heard was about the evils, of alcohol. And then to come across this passage without anybody ever talking to me about it was difficult. Why would Jesus turn something like that, some water, something good, into something so bad? Well, eventually I learned the historical context for all this and was able to make sense of it all. And we don't believe quite the same things in 2016 as we did in earlier years. Let's put it that way. But this is Jesus' first sign, the Bible tells us, his first miracle. And what it suggests to me is that God sent his son. And we hear this again and again in the scriptures in various forms, that we might not have just life, but we might have abundant life. God wants for you and for me the very best that there can be. The very best that there is. And we have to kind of come to grips with that, because we don't always believe it when we get weighted down with problems of one kind or another. And in some ways it might seem like a frivolous use of Jesus' power. Really? Water to wine? You know? It's been the subject of a host of lowbrow humor, like the Kentucky preacher who was caught with a load of moonshine whiskey. He claimed he was just hauling water, but when the constable confronted him with the fact that it was whiskey rather than water, he said, "What? The Lord did it again." But think for a moment, and you'll see that this miracle is quite consonant with the character of Christ. First of all, this miracle, I think, demonstrates to us his concern for everybody involved, particularly for the young couple and the family, that, you know, they were the host of this extraordinary event, and it was a real event in those days in Jewish life. Jesus cares about people. That is one of the primary takeaways of this story this morning. Someone on the groom's side of the family was obviously responsible. Whoever it was going to be deeply humiliated, but everyone would be affected. And who wants to see a bride disappointed on her wedding day? So Mary asked Jesus to intervene. We should not be surprised that even though he expressed reluctance, since he said his time had not yet come, he ultimately did what his mother asked. Note also that this miracle indicates the abundant nature of God's grace. The master of the banquet tasted the water and it had been turned into wine. What we take away again from this is that Jesus took what was plain and turned it into something vastly superior. Anything Christ touches is going to be improved by that touch. The water was not only going to be transformed to wine, it would be the best wine possible. In this, he was but reflecting the very nature of God. God is a giving God. The God who has given us a beautiful and bountiful world does so because that is God's nature. Jesus came that we would not only have life, but abundant life. In a lot of ways, this wedding is a picture of life, if you will. The problem is that they were about to run on empty. If you live long enough, you're going to learn every wedding, every life, if you will, eventually runs out of wine. You're going to find times in your life, and you may be there now, some of you, where you are literally running on empty. You've got a problem that you can't solve. You are in a crisis that you can't handle. You are in a hole you can't dig yourself out of. You are at the end of your rope. You are running on empty. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hands this morning, but I've been there. Haven't you? Some crisis in your life, some problem that is so overwhelming, so problem that is so big, we don't know what in the world to do. And we know that on our own, we're incapable. It is impossible. But that's life. What we discover is when we invite Jesus into the problem, we discover that our problems are God's possibilities, that God does in fact care about each one of us, and how that problem will be handled will work itself out in one way, shape, or another when we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in God. You know, the next time life goes south when you're driving north, remember a wedding, a woman, water and wine. And if you will do the following, you will see the supernatural take place in your life. And that is simply this: to turn to Jesus, turn to God with whatever problem you may be facing this day or any day. Well, the problem at this wedding was pretty clear. The wine was gone. Why was that such a big deal? Well, back then, wine was to a wedding what cake is to a wedding today. Can you imagine going to a wedding cake where they either forgot to bake the cake or the cake was, big enough to serve 30 and 80 people were there. And this was the problem. It would have been a real embarrassment. Oh, I'm sorry, all you folks over at that table, the cake, those folks ate it over here. It's gone. It would have been a real faux pas. Same thing is true for us. The vast majority of problems that we face every day are not life and death problems. You know, running out of wine, running out of wedding cake is not the end of the world, is it? It may feel like that to certain people at the moment, but it simply is not. But it's a real problem. Losing your job or losing your car keys are not the same thing as losing your life, but they are real problems. Facing a lawsuit or even jail is not like facing death, but it is still a real problem. What is important is not the problems that you face. What is important is how you face those problems. Evidently, Mary, Jesus' mother, was the hostess of this wedding, or maybe the wedding coordinator, if you'll use more modern terminology. She didn't want any embarrassment to come to her friends, and especially to the bride and groom. She did exactly the first thing any of us ought to do when we face a problem. She turns to Jesus. You'll notice she doesn't press the panic button. She doesn't go ballistic. She doesn't scream. There's no apparent rise in her blood pressure. She doesn't tear her hair out. She simply turns to Jesus calmly and politely and says, "I need your help. Come help me." And it's about that simple for us in our lives too. Whatever issue and difficulty we're facing, if you want to let your blood pressure come down, if you don't want to have to scream and fuss and worry over, you know, overtly, you need to simply give your problem to God, to Jesus. When you are running on empty, turn to Jesus with the problem. Let me ask you a question this morning. Why did Jesus do this as his first miracle? Why did Jesus change this water into wine? Did he do it to impress the crowd? No. Hardly anybody there even knew that he did it. Jesus' disciples and a couple of stewards. That's it. He didn't do it to impress anyone. Did he do it because he had to? No. It wasn't his reputation on the line. Did he do it to prove that he was the Son of God? No. He didn't. Remember when he said his hour had not yet come? It was because he was not yet ready to reveal to the world who he was. That's why that statement was there. Now, I'm sure Mary had no clue about that at the moment. Only later on, looking back. But the disciples remembered. So much of their experience and their lives with Jesus over those 3 years of his ministry were put into perspective only in retrospect at the end. And they look back. Oh, do you remember when Jesus said this? Do you remember when Jesus did that? It was in the remembering. It was in the being able to look back and putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And that's the way it is in all of our lives. You know, we don't know the ending. But if you look back over your life and kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together, who you met when and where and how and the experiences that you had, you know, from the time you were young until now, all of those experiences, all of those little pieces, it's that which has made us who we are. And if we can want to be comfortable with who we are, then we remember that we are God's own children, you and me. We are creatures of our experiences and our habits and our opportunities. And if we want to become better people, we turn more and more to Jesus, just like Mary did on this occasion. So why did Jesus turn the water into wine? Pretty simple. He did it because he cared. He did it to prove what matters to us matters to him. He did it to show that our problems are his possibilities. He did it because he wants us to have not just life, but abundant life. The best thing that bride and groom did that day was not get married, but the best thing they did was invite Jesus to the wedding. When you invite Jesus into your heart and you invite Jesus into your life, you will know for the rest of your lives, no matter what problems you face, your problems are God's possibilities. Whatever problems you face, God will be right there with you because God cares about you. He wants you to have not only life, but abundant life. All we have to do, put our trust in him. Believe in God. Believe in his Son. And that abundant life awaits. Amen.